It is good to be able to share with you in worship this morning and bring you greetings this morning to say greetings on behalf of the Christian Church Disciples of Christ in North Carolina, and also greetings on behalf of the Christian Church Disciples of Christ in the United States and Canada. And to remind you once again in a very visceral sense, we are part of something larger. I'm also here to say thank you. Thank you for your support and your partnership in all of the ministries that we do. Your support is very important to us. Thank you not only for the financial support, but for the support of your pastor and your members being encouraged to serve beyond this congregation. And Chris serves as a member of our executive committee in the Christian Church in North Carolina. So it is with a grateful heart that I come here this morning and say thank you and greetings, and I look forward to sharing with you. Let's bow for a moment of prayer. Gracious God, as we begin this consideration of your word this morning, I pray that your spirit will rest upon us, rest within us, and guide our hearts and minds so that we might hear the word that you have specifically for us this morning. In Christ's name, amen. Let me just remind you of a couple of verses that you heard read. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. This is 4th of July weekend coming up. Well, this is the weekend before the 4th of July. I'll get it straight. I have trouble with that because I'm Canadian, so yesterday was the 1st of July, which is Canada Day, so it gets me all confused. Anyway, you may be thinking, what has this scripture got to do with the celebration of our nation and the celebration of our independence? But as we toil through a little bit, perhaps it might become clear to us what this passage of Scripture has to say to us as we celebrate our patriotism and our nationalism. I want to start with the question, do you believe that what Jesus announced as his calling in this Scripture we heard read is our mission as well? Do you believe that we are to minister to the poor, to the sick, to the blind and the oppressed? Well, of course we do. The words come rolling back at me, but hold on. Just wait. It's very easy to give lip service to our belief. But really believing means we're going to act upon it. Means that we're going to do what we say. A fellow by the name of Ken Davis, in a book entitled How to Speak to Youth, tells of a college lesson he had to prepare for his speech class. We were to be graded on our creativity and our ability to drive the point home in a memorable way. The title of his talk was The Law of the Pendulum. You know, isn't that scintillating? The Law of the Pendulum. And he spent 20 minutes carefully explaining and teaching the physical principle that governs a swinging pendulum. And the law of the pendulum is a pendulum can never return to a point higher than the point from which it was released. Friction and gravity, and when the pendulum returns, it will fall just a little bit short of its original release point, and so on. And each time it swings, it makes less and less of an arc until finally it's at rest. And the point of rest is called the state of equilibrium, where all the forces acting on the pendulum are equal. He then attached a 3-foot-long string to a little toy top, a child's toy, secured it to the edge of the blackboard with a thumbtack, and he pulled it up to one side and made a mark with a piece of chalk, and he let go, and it swung over, it came back, and he marked where it came back to, and so on, each time it came back. And by the time it came to a stop, the markings on the blackboard proved what he had been saying, that it never returns to a spot higher than where it was released. And so then he asked, how many people believed the law of the pendulum was true? All the classmates raised their hands. Even the teacher raised his hand, and he started to walk to the front of the room thinking, well, the lesson's over, and in reality, it had just begun. Ken Davis had, hanging from the steel ceiling beams in the middle of the room, a large, crude, but functional pendulum. 250 pounds of metal was tied to four strands of 500-pound test parachute cord. He invited the instructor then to climb up on a chair set on the table and put his head right against the concrete wall, the back of his head. He then brought the 250 pounds of metal right up to the instructor's nose. Just a fraction of an inch from his face. And once again, he explained the law of the pendulum to the teacher who had applauded only moments before. He says, if the law of the pendulum is true, then when I release this big mass of metal, it will swing across the room and return short of the release point. Your nose will be in no danger, he says. And then after this, he looked him in the eye and said, sir, do you believe this law is true? Long pause. Huge beads of sweat form on the teacher's forehead. Weakly, he nodded and whispered, yes. Davis released the pendulum. It made a swishing sound as it arced across the room, and at the far end of its swing, it paused momentarily and started back. Ken Davis said he never saw a man move so fast in all of his life. He literally dove from the table. Ken Davis stepped around the still swinging pendulum and asked the class, does he believe in the law of the pendulum? Believing is more than just saying, I believe. Believing affects the way you live. Believing affects what you do. If we really believe, Jesus calls us to respond to the cries of those who we see all around us, then we're in the same spot as Jesus in the synagogue in Nazareth. And we're going to have to do things that upset the conventional wisdom. You've all heard that expression, the conventional wisdom. You've probably all used the idea of conventional wisdom. What is accepted as true is the conventional wisdom. Excuse me. The conventional wisdom is not just what everybody else thinks either. The conventional wisdom is what we think about things. Now, the Pharisees and the leaders of the synagogue there where Jesus was gathered thought they had things all pretty well figured out. And when Jesus lays out for them the call upon his life, they're eager for him to get busy in his own situation. But believing is more than thinking someone else should do something. Jesus outrages them by explaining that they have it all wrong. The gospel of God is not for them, nor are the benefits of God only for them. Instead, it's for the poor. It's for the needy. It's for the oppressed. It's for the people outside their comfortable little community. The gospel is given to us not for us to keep. The gospel is given to us in order that we might share it with people. Or as it says in another part of Scripture, we are stewards of the mystery of God. We are entrusted with the gospel of Jesus Christ. The realization that the Holy Spirit pushed Jesus beyond the comfort zone has a powerful message for us if we're willing to hear it. God wants me to reconsider a number of things that I've felt in the past. God wants me to reconsider what it seems to be Christian. God wants me to reconsider the conventional wisdom about faith in our society, in our community, even in our country. Oopsie, 4th of July comes, doesn't it? Makes me think about my thoughts in the past about the role of clergy in legislative issues. I've always wanted to steer a little clear of that. It's a little too controversial. There's too much chance of having my position as a non-citizen challenged. Yet a couple of weeks ago, I saw a clergyman and his family trying to find ways to resist immigration and customs enforcement agents facing deportation. Now, many of us would feel that the sanctuary movement in the church is wrong. Conventional wisdom would tell us there's no place for that in a nice, comfortable, middle-class church. But when Jesus stated his ministry, his mission, it upset the conventional wisdom, even so much that the religious leaders of his community were so outraged they chased him out of town, literally, and tried to throw him off a cliff. Is that any more volatile than the reactions we get as we consider progressive and countercultural ministries by the church? Is that any more reactionary than the responses we get from the conservative right? The Holy Spirit is going to upset the conventional wisdom. The influx of Hispanics into this country is causing considerable discomfort and unease. Every community, every church that I visit has people outspoken about the immigrant population and how those people should go back to where they came from. The conventional wisdom is that God has given us the blessings of this land because we deserve them. The poor and the oppressed shouldn't have any, especially if it causes me discomfort. The immigrant has no place, especially if it makes me uncomfortable, if I have to listen to people speaking Spanish as I stand in the line at Walmart. But as the Holy Spirit pushes us to where God has called us, it pushes us to overcome the conventional wisdom. Jesus was not conventional. They were so angry as he laid out his mission, they wanted to throw him off a cliff. That's the price of being faithful to the mission and ministry that God calls us to. Following Jesus is going to cost us something. Bonhoeffer, a theologian who was executed for his faith stance against the Nazis, said something to the effect that grace is free, but it's never cheap. And his portion of grace cost his life. That's the opposite of faith in the conventional wisdom. Following Jesus is going to cost us. What has it cost me? What has it cost you? It means we're going to have to look at mission with a larger view than we do now. Conventional wisdom says faith is only a spiritual thing. Conventional wisdom says faith is only me and Jesus. Too often, we look at faith as being a personal thing between God and me. And we try to keep faith contained to that idea that God offers salvation to us freely. Yet Jesus is calling us to follow him in a faith life that has a much larger context. The leaders of the synagogue were enraged when Jesus clearly told them that his mission was much bigger than their community and their lives. As a matter of fact, he implied that mission beyond them was more important than their own comfortable spiritual life. That really ticked them off. They were so self-satisfied. They had faith all figured out and were content that they were the most important. They had a phrase that was Jewish Pharisees first. Doesn't that sound familiar? Does that sound anything like America first? Can we as Christians even utter those words when we hear the mission of Jesus? Can Christians be isolationists? Is God possibly saying to us that we need to look at faith in a much bigger context than our own relationship with God? Is faith bigger than salvation from my sins? Is church a much bigger organism than my congregation? God's concern for people extends far beyond the walls of our congregation, our town, our society. Maybe even God is telling us that the plight of those whom we see as the least is where God is most concerned. Maybe he's telling me that the guy standing in the median with the little cardboard sign is more important than me. Maybe our regional moderator, our elected leader of this region of the Christian Church Disciples of Christ, William Barber Jr., maybe he is a prophet of Jesus as he campaigns vigorously for the poor. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Do you believe that that is our mission too? Do you believe it's your mission? Do you believe it's my mission? Well, believing it means more than just mouthing the words. It means we'll put into action what we've said and been commissioned to do. And it will shake up the church, and it will shake up our lives, and it will shake up our world, and it will shake up our nation. But if that is God's calling, then that is our ministry. Maybe it is different than we thought. Amen.